Jalen Ramsey was number one on many people's draft boards. Miles Jack was number one on many people's draft boards, if not for the injury. And Jacksonville has gotten them both.
Mangum rolling, throwing, picked off. Miles Jack.
That guy can be your star like Luke Kuechly is in Carolina. He can upgrade the whole defense. Kuechly was the best linebacker I've ever graded in coverage.
Really?
Until I graded Miles Jack. Miles Jack is a spectacular coverage linebacker. He's not just good or solid. He is elite.
Just because this team had a top five pick doesn't mean they're a losing team. They had a losing year, that's all. I can't wait for this team to get back to the top, and I want to be one of the guys helping do that.
That's an awesome.
I'm just so excited, man.
He's a special athlete. This kid is just, if all the tape I've watched, this is a different cat.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday morning to you, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran. As you heard moments ago, O'Halloran, what are you shaking your head at the steal the show lady? You cannot bring that attitude
here. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, what are you talking about? It is
that's something, Florida, baby.
It's rally round the steal the show. Come
certainly
on.
Not.
It's like, do you guys want to be looked at as a joke?
Certainly not.
Well,
that lady is, and I laugh at her every time.
I like to steal the show lady. I'd love to have her come in here and spend some time with us on a morning. Apparently, we won't do it on a Thursday.
No.
Tony.
No.
That's fine. You know what? David Garrard's out of town. Steal the show lady.
Where
come on
at?
By Friday.
You at the beach house?
We'll spend some time. She's at the, I hope the beach house still has power.
2 miles from the beach.
You know,
that's right.
Like, I think he's like, he's literally upset with us right now that we're wasting his valuable.
This is my time.
A newcomer come in and steal the show.
Yeah,
I will say,
thing.
Like, the open struck me that, you know, we've been playing that thing basically since the draft got done, that weekend got done with, you know, Jalen and Miles both coming here to Jacksonville. And look, fans can get excited knowing that from here going forward, it looks like both those guys are going
to
be starters
to play.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. It took way too long for Miles Jack to get in the lineup, but he's there now, and it doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
How'd you think he did in his starting debut?
I mean, 23 snaps, which it felt like he was out there a lot longer than that, a lot more than that. Yeah, was finishing in the locker room after the game. The first thing he brought up, he goes, "Do you see how I didn't keep contain on that play?" So I said, well, "What about that one?" And so, what you did see is the speed, you know, sort of make up, track guys down. He had a pass breakup. So all positive for him just because I think he needed the reps to get out there. And, you know, he's shown that he can learn quickly. And so now it's like, okay, and I write about this for tomorrow a little bit, is they got some decisions on the inactives right now for defense. To me, there is no decisions. Is you start Miles Jack at the auto, and also you just make Dan Scoot inactive. Because I think Chris Smith did enough as a pass rusher to earn a jersey this week. I'd make Alualu active again, and then maybe Avery Jones is your odd man out.
Yeah, and because Odric should be back, right, this week?
It's... should be back, and I think they want to have some insurance there because that's such a fickle injury.
Right.
They don't want to be caught in a situation where he's, like, injured on the second play.
Right.
So
I think it's just illustrates the difference between winning a game and losing a game, which should seem obvious, but when Miles Jack after the game says, hey, you know, lost contain on that play, got out of my lane, whatever, didn't play his responsibility, and that's the Frank Gore had the, I think it was like a 16-yard run.
And he's the one who ran it down too,
right,
on
but,
that play.
But, I mean, if you lose, that's like, oh, it's these little things that keep happening and they keep piling up. And you win, those things still happen. They're always going to happen to some degree. But if you win, you can go back to the drawing board and correct them.
And I think it's interesting. You mentioned he only played, 24 snaps against Indianapolis, and you felt like he played a lot more. Well, it's because the guy's around the ball. You know, I mean, he's involved in so many plays when he's on the field, and I think that's why a lot of fans were frustrated, you know, watching what was happening for the first 3 weeks of the season, knowing that they have this ridiculous athlete that's just not even being allowed to be on the field and try to make some of these plays. They put him on the field for the first time with significant playing time, and he shows up.
Yeah, one thing the fans should be prepared for is the Bears play a lot of three receiver. So a lot of sub package for the Jags this week. So, you know, Miles' play time is going to fluctuate just based on circumstances. You know, as Hayes Carlion wrote in today's paper, by now some people, including us, may have expected Miles Jack to replace Paul Posluszny on third down. Paz has kept his job. Talvin has played well to keep his job. So they have a nice problem there. And now it's about carving out a niche for Jack. Some weeks that may be 30 snaps. Some weeks it may be 7.
But as long as, like you said, those other two guys are playing as well as they've been mm-hmm. playing, that's not a good problem to have. You talked to Miles yesterday, Tony. Mm-hmm. We'll hear that conversation coming up later. Just in terms of his attitude and where he is now that he's got a full, you know, game, so to speak, under his belt, do you get the sense he feels a little bit more comfortable heading into this game with Chicago?
I don't even know if more comfortable, but he handled, and I know John Osher asked him the question too while I was over there about any frustration, you know, during that first 3 weeks, and he said, no, I wouldn't call it frustration, you know, I was just kind of biding my time. You could sense, though, the excitement about really being a part of the game plan from week to week now, which is not something that he was through the first 3 weeks. I think he handled it pretty well, what he was dealing with here through the first 3 weeks of the season, but obviously he's excited to be a part of the team in any way that he can be, even if it is, you know, a week-to-week thing where this may be a week where he only gets 10 snaps.
Yeah.
He at least knows that he is a starter on this football team right now.
I think Miles' attitude would have been different had he felt that he was better than those guys. And those guys are still playing even though they're struggling. That will grade at a player, but I think he's also aware of, hey, I'm learning this spot, and this spot. These guys were playing well. I just have to keep plugging away, and it'll pay off, which it did.
Speaking of needing to play better, the question of the day kind of goes in that direction today. It's a little harsh, I think, the way I worded it, but I was trying to come up with the exact right phraseology and keep it within 140 characters. Basically, we're looking for somebody, particularly a starter, on each side of the ball who really needs to improve his level of play, step up his level of play. What he did in the first quarter of the season wasn't good enough, and you're looking for more out of them, whether it's the next four games or really just the next 12 games going forward. So the way we ended up phrasing it is, which player was the biggest disappointment? It means the same thing. Which guy do you think needs to kind of kick himself in the rear and get going here on each side of the ball, offense, defense? You can tweet us your answers if you'd like at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, and of course on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We've got that up and going. 641-1010 remains the phone number to call in. If you've got any Jaguar questions or comments today, you're certainly welcome to bring those to the table, and you can also text them to us on the text line driven by Duval Ford. O'Halloran's going to dip out of here at the bottom of the hour. Greg Olson's talking today. Todd Wash spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him. We'll hear a little bit from Blake Bortles and Gus Bradley as we go along today as well. And we'll get into Jags Bears coming out of the bye week, looking to make it two in a row for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Ryan O'Halloran here with you. We've also got Adam Hoge going to join us from WGN. He's on the other side. So we'll talk a little Chicago Bears, what they have in store for the Jags. I did talk with Jordan Howard last night. We had him on our show on Sirius. He wouldn't bite. I was looking for a little bulletin board material. There was not. He's been well trained in the art of saying absolutely nothing.
So what was the other? What was the last time you had it? Was it Travis Benjamin? That was after the game.
We had Benjamin after the game, right? We had Cole Beasley last week, and that worked out well for Cole and his fantasy owners. So hopefully, look, I'm fine with Jordan Howard going for $150 if the Jags win. That's just how I'm looking at it. Bottom line is the final score on the scoreboard is all I'm concerned with as far as the Jags go. Get the W and move on. If all the fantasy guys on both sides want to light it up for me, I'm okay with that, frankly. I know not everybody is, but we'll do that coming up next. We'll get inside the Bears and what they're going to do at the quarterback position, not only this week but going forward when Cutler's healthy. If Brian Hoyer continues to play well, does Cutler walk back in as the starter in Chicago? Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Farrah and Farrah Thursday on Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. It's time for a change on Jaguars Today. Let's welcome our next guest to the Haviland Express Lube hot seat. Haviland Express Lube, fast, friendly service.
Well, I think we're managing it well. I mean, it kind of is what it is. And I think everybody on the team knows that Brian Hoyer is the quarterback right now. And that's where all our focus is going. I think Jay understands that too. you know, moving forward, I can't predict the future. Otherwise, that'd be in a different line of work. But I think everybody's handling it professionally.
Thanks, John.
Well, I'll say this. When you're the head coach of a football team, we kind of mentioned this yesterday, and you have the power to determine who starts and who doesn't, you can predict the future.
Yeah.
If you want to, if you choose to. John Fox not choosing to. And I don't really blame him on that. Just don't tell me you can't. You can want to.
You can do whatever you want.
All right. I want to talk with Adam Hoge from WGN Radio in Chicago right now. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How you doing, Adam?
Good.
So who is the quarterback going forward? If Hoyer continues to play well, can he hold that spot? We know his track record and – you know, he's been prone to those turnover meltdowns, but it's not like Jay Cutler has always protected the football either.
No doubt. You know, it's the reason it's been hard to get a read on the comments John Fox has been making over the last few weeks. And first of all, I just think it's significant that in this town, Jay Cutler is kind of always on the hot seat, right? So anytime a head coach doesn't come out and back him, it kind of immediately creates a firestorm of doubt and a quarterback controversy, for lack of a better term. When these guys took over, when John Fox was hired here with Ryan Pace, the general manager, they took really 3 months before they endorsed Cutler as their starter. And that, of course, created all this trade speculation. This is at the beginning of 2015. And then eventually when they realized, all right, trading him is not the best thing, they endorsed him as a starter, and really for the last year plus, until he got hurt against the Eagles in week two, it was pretty clear cut that Jay was their guy. And look, Brian Hoyer's played well, and so that feeds into this a little bit. But I personally believe they beat the Colts on Sunday if Jay Cutler was the quarterback, because while sure, he takes more chances and tends to turn the ball over more, in that game, they needed a guy to go downfield a little bit more. They have not been targeting Alshon Jeffrey enough. And I think they win that game against the Colts. So this is either John Fox is playing his normal games of not telling everybody who's playing at any position, which he normally does, or maybe he really does like Brian Hoyer more. One theory I have, though, is that Jay could potentially be ready to play by next Thursday against the Green Bay Packers. And it is sort of an advantage if they can keep this under wraps until that game of who's going to start, because the offense does look different with Jay. There's more of a vertical threat, so that can impact how a defense prepares.
Is Alshon Jeffrey, does he appear to be frustrated with Jay not in the lineup? I know, you know, watching from afar, it feels like Jay was willing to kind of force feed Alshon Jeffrey at times to get him involved in these football games. Alshon hasn't been as involved, especially in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's averaging about 3 less targets per game with Brian Hoyer under center than really the rest of his career with Jay Cutler. So there has been a difference. Now, I will say, though, that in the first 2 weeks when Cutler was in there, Alshon was still kind of lacking targets because, look, he's the number one guy now. There's no doubt about it. And he's always going to get double covered. And I got to give Alshon credit. In a league where, look, the NFL is full of wideouts who tend to have egos, right, tend to always want the football. It's sort of just a natural mentality of the position to be good at it. You have to kind of think that way. And that's why, you know, we see outbursts like Odell Beckham or, you know, Brandon Marshall over the years. And obviously there's, a ton more examples, Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, you can go through it. Alshon has handled this unbelievably professionally. I mean, the guy was wide open for a game-winning touchdown the other day in Indianapolis, and the quarterback didn't throw him the ball. I mean, I can't blame a wide receiver for being upset about that. Now, I know ESPN and NFL Network kept showing his little, you know, reaction in the moment on the field, which is, I can't blame him for. But in the locker room after the game, he was calm, cool, collected, say, hey, look, they're doubling me. And Brian's finding the opening guy. And you know, for 99% of the game Sunday against the Colts, that worked. That was what was working. But in a moment where you had to go out and win the football game, you should have thrown the ball to Alshon, and Alshon was open.
hey, Adam, this offense, let's stick with that. Second in yards per play entering this week, but that isn't translated into the points. They obviously struggle on third down. What are some of the factors that are playing into them getting plays but also not scoring points?
Yeah, it's crazy the disparity between being second in yards and 30th in points. I mean, that's just insane. They're just not finishing drives. I mean, they're showing the ability each and every week to being able to move the football. The game plans have been pretty solid. There's been a little bit of questioning of offensive coordinator Dow Loggins, who's in his first year as coordinator for the Bears, taking over for Adam Gase. He's not running the football a whole lot, which is weird, because especially with the emergence of Jordan Howard, the rookie out of Indiana, they probably should be running it more than they have, but they've still found ways to move the football. It's just they get near the red zone and either there's penalties or mistakes. They've had a couple of bad snaps down there. They've had just Brian Hoyer all of a sudden not completing his passes, not making the right decisions. It's kind of just a perfect storm of everything, and it's prevented them from getting in the end zone. So, you know, you can move the football all you want, but if you're not scoring points, it doesn't really matter. This is an interesting matchup against the Jaguars, who I believe are not allowing a whole lot of yards, but are still giving up enough points to lose football games. So it'll be interesting to see what budges here in that matchup.
Yeah, it is kind of funny when you look at it like that. You guys are getting the yards and not the points. We are not giving up too many yards, but we're giving up plenty of points right here in Jacksonville. And particularly the pass defense has been pretty stingy. Is this a team, as you said, you'd like to see them maybe commit a little bit more to Jordan Howard? Do you think that's something, based on the numbers, it's been a little bit easier to run against Jacksonville than pass against them? Do you think they'll try to come out and establish that physical tone in the first half?
Well, what's interesting is every week they keep saying they're going to do that, and then they get to the game and they don't. Now, early in the season, they were behind a lot. That kind of forced them to throw the ball. The last few weeks, they haven't been behind. I thought they did a good job against the Detroit Lions 2 weeks ago in running the football, and lo and behold, they won the football game. Last week, all those yards, 500 yards of offense, they only gave Jordan Howard the ball 16 times, at least carries wise. They threw it to him a few more times out of the backfield as well, but he only got 16 carries. I think Brian Hoyer threw the ball 49 times. Now, some of that was the last couple drives where they were behind. All they could do was throw, but there was still a huge kind of 2-to-1 ratio before that point in the game. So, they got to commit to the run. It seems like they have a pretty good young back here with Jordan Howard, and why not ride him a little bit more? I think they got to, and I think they will Sunday. I think that's just that has to be the game plan if they want to beat Jacksonville.
Speaking of young players, a couple of young guys along that defensive front for the Bears, draft picks in the first three rounds, Jonathan Bullard and Leonard Floyd. I know Bullard got his first sack last week for the Chicago Bears, but really not a whole lot of production to this point out of either one of those two guys. How have they been playing through the first month of the year?
Yeah, it's been quiet. Three, really you could point to three young players that are from the down your way in either Georgia with Leonard Floyd or Eddie Goldman at Florida State and Bullard, who obviously played at Florida. I think there's some talent there that can be tapped into. Now, Eddie Goldman, the nose tackle, is really coming on strong. He had a good rookie year, but he was really looking dominant the first couple of weeks before he suffered a high ankle sprain and has been out. And I don't know that he's going to be back this week. That's been a big loss for this defense. Bullard looked very impressive in the preseason, but he's been kind of slowed down by some injuries too, kind of trying to gut his way through it. And did show some progress the other day in Indianapolis, so that was a good sign. He got his first sack. Leonard Floyd, it's been a tough go for the number 9 overall draft pick who the Bears traded up to get. The injuries have – it seems like he's just had something nagging from the very first day at training camp when he hurt his shoulder. He also had an illness, then, you know, calf, various leg injuries. It just keeps holding him up, and he didn't even play the other day. It sounds like he'll be back this week against the Jaguars. But beyond just the injuries that are holding him back, I don't know that he can play. I mean, he hasn't really shown that. He certainly has quickness and speed, but you don't draft a guy number 9 overall to drop back in coverage, which is kind of what they've relegated him to doing, because he's just not strong enough to beat NFL offensive tackles on the edge right now. You got to have some kind of power move, and just converting your speed and quickness into power, it's easier said than done at the NFL level.
Adam Hogue, WGN Radio in Chicago. Adam, I would imagine, much like down here, we're like, hey, you got to get this game if you're the Jags, right? If you want to have any semblance mm-hmm. of a good record at the end of the year, I would imagine the Bears and their fans are looking at this one the same way. Hey, this is a must win with Jacksonville coming to town.
Yeah, especially at home. You got to – this is one you look at and you say that you should win. I don't know if they will. I mean, they're – you know, I look at the Jaguars as kind of more pressure actually to win than the Bears at this point. The Bears kind of knew this was a rebuilding year, where I think you guys kind of really thought that the Jaguars could take a major step forward this year. And I did too. And so I've been kind of surprised by their slow start. I love the talent, though, the Jags have on defense. I thought they had one of the best drafts in the entire league this past year, and got some great value with Miles Jack and obviously Jalen Ramsey, who – Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio admitted yesterday that he didn't even look at Jalen Ramsey in the draft, before the draft, because the front office told him, look, he's not going to be available where we're drafting him, and if for some reason he is, we're just going to go ahead and draft him. So we don't really even need your opinion. And obviously you see the talent there. So, you know, I think there's a lot of young talent on both of these teams, which are obviously not the best teams in the NFL at this point. But I think I'm kind of leaning towards the Jags in this game, just because I think there's overall a little bit more talent on your guys' side than what the Bears have right now. They're just kind of – they can't seem to put it together for four quarters, and I don't know that that's going to change on Sunday.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping that Ramsey gets to shadow Alshon Jeffrey. We haven't gotten official confirmation of that, but he's that type of player that I think ultimately will be following – number one wide receiver. So we'll see if that matchup comes to pass. Adam Hogue, WGN Radio in Chicago. Listen, man, we appreciate it. We hope you're good hosts, and we hope your prediction is correct, because we desperately need some W's down here, much like you guys do up in the Windy City. Thanks for the time this morning, buddy.
All right, guys. I hope everyone's safe down there with the hurricane.
We most of us made it through fine, and we appreciate that sentiment. And we'll see up there in Chicago come this Sunday. Adam Hogue, WGN Radio, with the Chicago Bears preview for you here. We'll come back. Ron O'Halloran's run down the hall, and he's going to talk to Greg Olsen. We'll find out a little bit later on in the show what the Jags offensive coordinator had to say. But when we come back, we'll find out what Gus Bradley and others had to say yesterday to the Jags collected media. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Thursday. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Oh, so glad to be back here in Jacksonville in the St. Augustine area, where I can pick up Dandy sandwiches anytime I like. I told you, they made my road trip a lot more bearable with the family. A 10-hour trip on what should have been about a 5.5-hour drive as we evacuated. Food on the go, that's what Dandy's all about. Quality food on the go with great choices, tons of variety, fresh ingredients, freshly baked bread you're going to find here from local companies like Flowers Baking Company, and just simply the greatest prices you're going to find anywhere. The breakfast sliders, a 2-pack of breakfast sliders for $3. You're not going to find breakfast on the go for a better deal and more satisfying anywhere in town, and you're not going to waste all your time in the local drive-thru either. Just pop into your local Circle K or Kangaroo Express and head straight to the fresh case, whether it's the breakfast sliders, the lunchtime wraps, or any of the Dandy or Anytime Deli classics you've come to know and love. Folks, I tell you all the time, when you're hungry for food on the go, do what I do and make yours a Dandy today.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We had a chance to see rookie Miles Jack in the auto linebacker position during the trip to London. How's he feeling about switching to auto? Here's the rookie.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with it. Just learning every day, working with Coach Hazelton, asking Scooter, you know, his issues and what he experienced and everything, and then just trying to form my own kind of, you know, plan to attack. So, yeah, I like it.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
It's Tuesday's Talk with 88. Alan Hearns joins Dan and Jeff on The Drill Tuesday morning.
brought to you by Body Armor Natural Sports Drink and the construction law and litigation attorneys, Regan, Whalen, Zabuni, and Atwood.
Really good, really good practice today. Physical, really challenged the guys up front, both sides of the ball. You know, you come off a bye week, you have a chance to take advantage of that. Just highly, highly competitive. So pleased with that part of it. Got a chance to look at a lot of things that extra day that we had on Monday as well. So off to a good start.
All right, there you go, Gus Bradley, opening things up yesterday with the local media in attendance as we get ready for Jags-Bears. Bye week in the rearview, get ready to settle back into the weekly routine of the National Football League. Tony, let's hear a little bit more from Gus Bradley and some from Blake Bortles and Todd Wash perhaps as well, depending on how much time we have. Gus starting in yesterday on the linebacker core, but not on the guy that we saw get his most extensive playing time of the season in London, Miles Jack. Instead, Gus asked about how good Paz has been in the first month of the season.
He's been awesome. You know, he always has been, but I think he's just even taken it to another level this year. And the first four games, number of plays he's been involved in, and it's just the things that you probably watch on TV or you see at the game, but all the things we see as coaches and the players in the locker room, he just really elevates everybody around him. He's just, you know, it's been phenomenal.
He's been really good, and he's not the only one who talked about that yesterday. Todd Walsh talked about it. Blake Bortles actually talked about what he's learned from Paul Posluszny since getting here to Jacksonville as well.
Yeah, how long do you think he can play, Tony? You know, I think a lot of people figured, well, by this time next year, Posluszny is out. Miles Jack will be the middle linebacker on this squad. You got to get him on the field full time, and that may end up being the case, but he's playing at a pretty high level right now.
I think it depends on what kind of role Puz is content with having, right? Like, it feels like the future of the middle linebacker spot in Jacksonville is probably Miles Jack, right? And that may be 2017. We don't know. We'll see what happens with that going forward. But at some point, he's going to be on a team somewhere where he can't be on the field on third down anymore.
Right.
And is he okay with just being a first and second down linebacker, like a that kind of package guy? I would think he's going to be.
He strikes me as a guy that will not want to give up football as long as he feels like he can play it at a relatively high level.
Probably not.
For quite a while.
Probably not. Gus Bradley yesterday, actually, Blake Bortles was the one who spoiled it for everyone as far as who was going to be the starting left guard for the football team earlier in the day, saying that Patrick was getting all the first-team reps. But Gus Bradley talked about Patrick Amame and the reps he's getting out of practice this week.
He's getting most of the reps there now. Yeah, so it looks like he's got, you know, a good chance to be the starter. He's a big, strong, physical type presence for us, so at that guard spot, he brings that. You know, hoping that the physical part really comes through.
And Gus, of course, left out, I can't predict the future in terms of whether he'll start this Sunday. What kind of job do you think he did to Omame, Ryan?
He was pretty good. I mean, I got him down for one pressure and one half of a bad run type thing. So, and that was pretty good. He played over 50 snaps. Greg Olson just asked about him a minute ago and said, hey, you can tell that he's played. He got thrown in there. He's pretty savvy, pretty physical. So, they could be a lot worse off.
This is healthy. I mean, certainly Jokel's done, but if you look with Chris Ivory healthy, Julius Thomas healthy, they haven't had this many pieces mm-hmm. ready to go at one time until now.
Yeah, and I asked him about. I asked Greg about Ivory. Felt that he got his legs a little bit in that Colts game. They still don't have a 100-yard rusher. They rushed over for 100 as a team last week, but 40 of that was Blake. And that's one thing Greg talked about. He says the Baltimore game was a slap in the face, how they couldn't run it at the end. And so he said they pared down the package for run plays against the Colts. And that's the key for them because right now they're 1 of 22 when they need more than 8 on third down. They're just getting in a third and long too much
right.
because they're getting stopped on first down. So, you know, as much as we say this is a passing league and they should throw it every time is –
You say that.
I say that. And I think I'm right. They believe that in order to they can't use play action if they're not running it. And that's what plays into it. And that's where to take away some of those explosive plays is teams aren't having to drop a safety close to the line of scrimmage to stop the running game yet.
One thing you talked about earlier in the show that Gus Bradley weighed in on was the defensive line rotation, who will be active, who won't. Gus has asked if there are going to be some tough decisions to make regarding that specific thing, who will be inactive.
This is a tough week for us going through it. I know we spent a lot of time on this and just looking at, you know, our philosophy going into the game. You know, as far as number of D linemen, linebackers, DBs, it's a challenging week for that because we have some guys that are playing really well that may have to be out.
I thought Gus was more insightful on that than I thought he'd be. I thought he'd say, well, we're going to talk about that Thursday night or Friday night, decided. He said, hey, got some guys who played well that may not be active. Todd Washington yesterday, he anticipates 8 linemen being up. I think there's some wiggle room there if you do an extra lineman instead of an extra linebacker. But, you know, Tyson Alualu might not be active this week. You know, do you agree or disagree, that's where they're at.
Right.
No doubt about it.
It's a pretty good problem to have, though, right?
It's the first time they've had this kind of problem.
Yeah, you're deciding which good player, which guy you think can contribute, will not be up on Sunday.
We'll see what kind of decision they make. I know one guy, the only guy that didn't practice yesterday, safety Tashawn Gibson. Gus Bradley was asked about that.
You know, he ran out there today. I think I'm starting to learn more about him that, you know, he may have these things that periodically show up. But, you know, as we get closer to game day, he seems to be pretty good. But, you know, it's more on us. You know, I think he felt like he could go. We were just more precautionary on our end.
Translation, he doesn't like the practice.
It sounded like it, right?
It's like, I mean, that was a remarkable statement. It's basically saying he's going to milk something every week.
We're going to learn. We've learned some things about him, and by the time game time rolls around, he usually feels pretty good, right? That's
and he knows,
paraphrase.
He's valuable enough to get away with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, moving on, with Aaron Colvin back, and the Jags have shuffled things around, let Dwayne Grotz go. Who picked him up yesterday?
LA.
The Rams, right? Yeah, the Rams picked him up.
Dwayne's going back to London next week.
How about that? That's a bonus trip to London. Gus was asked how they're going to have to shuffle things in the secondary with Colvin back off suspension.
You know, because he had a really good training camp, you know, at especially at the nickel spot. So he just gives us the ability, the pressure that he's a good blitzer, good in coverage, short area quickness. So, you know, some of the qualities that you look for at nickel. So we look for him to be there. And, you know, just jockey some things around on the perimeter then. You know, a guy like Jalen now will stay outside for the most part.
Well, I think he showed his hand there. Like Wash earlier yesterday was maybe stepping on the expectations a little bit. Maybe Colvin can't be a 60-snap guy right away, and that would bring House into play outside if they move Ramsey inside. But I think as the week goes along, they're going to figure out that their top three are going to be out there the whole game.
Which would be Amukamara, Ramsey, and Colvin. Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounded to me, I mean, Gus wouldn't say it, but it sounds to me like Ramsey's probably going to follow Jeffrey this week would be my guess.
That would be out of character for him, for this staff, outside of the House Hopkins thing last year, which I think scarred them, and they didn't do it again. But that will be interesting to see. If I'm the Jags, I maybe hold off on that because right now the Bears have shown no real interest in getting him involved.
Brian Hoyer, right. Adam Hoge told us, he really hasn't focused in on Jeffrey and missed him on what would have been a game-winning touchdown or could have been a game-winning touchdown.
So that may be something as the game develops.
Sure. Gus was asked yesterday about the idea of Jalen Ramsey following a guy, and when you're looking at a team to get ready for him, do you look at the one? Do you look at the one and two when you're trying to make that kind of decision?
You know, you first look at the number one receiver, and then I think you look at our corners and how they're playing. You know, if we feel like both our corners are playing pretty well, then you could see him just on one side. If we feel like it's a matchup with size or things like that, that's a good matchup for us, then, you know, we look at that aspect. But I do think that you look at number one first, and then you also look at the second receiver and see, you know, but it's rare to see two really high-level number one receivers.
That sounds like tune in Sunday and find out.
Well, and also it's like how much do they use Jeffrey inside, if at all? Then it might make sense to do that, which they've been doing with Ramsey anyways.
Right. So. Right. And Cameron Meredith, I don't know if he is going to develop into a true high-level number two wide receiver. He had a game like that last week, and Eddie Royal has been around the block for quite a while. I'm not quite sure who the Bears consider to be their number two receiver.
Well, I guarantee the Jags like their matchup this time around against Eddie Royal as opposed to 2 years ago in San Diego when it was Winston Guy.
Yeah, I would agree that Aaron Colvin's got a better shot this time. All right, he is Ryan O'Halloran along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll come back. We've got This State in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. We're going to hear Tony's conversation with Jaguar linebacker Miles Jack and more to come, including some from Blake Bortles and Todd Wash a little bit later on in the program. If you'd like to weigh in on on any aspect of Jaguar football. 641-1010 is the number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford and the social media question of the day. Basically, which Jags need to pick up their play, one on each side of the ball. Who has been the most disappointing offensive and defensive player through the first quarter of the season? Who you're looking for to give you more as the season goes on? It's all the same question. You can hit us up on Twitter or the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony Dorsett's given name was what?
Dorsett,
that's right. And he changed Dorsett, changed it to Dorsett. Why did he change it to Dorsett? It was Dorsett, though, I believe is how he pronounced it initially. On this date, 1985, Tony Dorsett, or Dorsett, however you want to call him, became the sixth player in NFL history to run for over 10,000 yards as the Cowboys defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-13 at Texas Stadium. Birthdays for this date, speaking of the Cowboys, Jarrah was born on this date. Jerry Jones, born on this date.
79.
In 1942 would make him 74, right? 74, in a ballpark there. Also born on this date, Jarrah Rice, 1962. Oh, sorry, 54 years old.
I was going to say 47.
How many Pro Bowls and how many first-team All-Pro appearances for Jerry Rice? How about that?
Pro Bowls, 12. First-team All-Pro, 8.
13 and 10. Ballpark. I told Tony before the show, or at least I said it out loud, so I didn't give him a chance to steal there. Hall of Fame inductee in 2010. Jerry Rice was a member of the all-first team NFL squad of the 1980s and 1990s at wide receiver. The Jaguar quarterback, Tony, who led him to the most points ever in franchise history at that point, a lefty coming off the bench's one career start, Steve Matthews, against the New York Giants. You remember the game in 1997?
I kill your broke his neck in that game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not recall that detail, but now that you mention it, it seems vaguely familiar. Steve Matthews playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars that day through 23 out of 35 for 252 yards. Did not throw a touchdown, but the running game was rolling, and the Jags rolled the New York Giants 40-13 for what was at that point a franchise record in points scored. Steve Matthews turning 46 years old today. Another Jacksonville guy by way of Raines High School on to Clemson and the National Football League. Brian Dawkins, 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, and a member of the first-team All-2000s squad, and likely will join Jerry Rice, I would imagine, in the Hall of Fame.
Probably.
One day.
Man, did I hate that guy.
Oh, Dawkins?
Oh, he's killing the Giants. I hated that Philadelphia team so much. Those guys dancing after, you know, they tackle a guy for a short loss on 2nd and 10. They'd be down 20 and dance. I hated that defense so much.
41.
He is 43 years old today. Good guess. And the opposing quarterback in Chicago this week, Brian Hoyer, has a birthday today. How old is he, Ryan O'Halloran?
33.
31. You're just like 2 years off on everybody, but that's okay. That is all I've got for this date in football. It's presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist or any cosmetic work done, call 620-9225 to set up an appointment or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Baltimore Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith says he isn't going to tolerate any nonsense from Odell Beckham Jr. this Sunday, saying, quote, "All of that extra hitting and talking, that's not going to fly. That's not my game. I like to line up and play. Give me your best shot and I'll give you mine. But if you hit me after the whistle, there's going to be a fight," end quote. Personally, I think this is Smith trying to get in the head of Beckham, which hasn't proven to be very hard to do, knowing that officials are looking for Beckham to do something stupid week to week right now. Kansas City running back Jamaal Charles appeared in a game a couple weeks ago, but he is finally not appearing on the team's injury report, as he finally seems to be recovered from his torn ACL. Did not appear on the Wednesday injury report from the Kansas City Chiefs, so he should be seeing his role expand as he goes forward. Green Bay running back James Starks missed practice on Wednesday because of a knee injury. Eddie Lacy is dealing with an ankle injury that has him limited in practice right now. Lacy averaging 5.5 yards per carry but has not scored a touchdown yet this season. And finally, the San Francisco 49ers and quarterback Colin Kaepernick have agreed to a restructured contract that essentially turns his deal into a one-year deal with a player option for next year at $16.5 million. How many NFL players get a player option?
If you want to play, then you got to be ready to go away. That's the deal.
If you want to play, you better be ready to go away. Okay. You work on that one a long time.
No, that just came right now.
Did it? Wow. It shows.
It did strike me. I mean, NFL, like NBA.
That was pretty good. Hey, that was a dig.
That wasn't bad. NBA, in Major League Baseball, the player option, you hear about that all the time.
Sure.
NFL, player option.
Right. I mean, the Jags have a four-year player option with Kelvin Beecham, but that's the Jags.
The team
does. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so weird.
You don't see that very much.
I mean, it's a matter of convenience, because if he hadn't agreed to it, they probably wouldn't have played him, because they don't want to be on the hook for next year's salary if he gets hurt.
Right, if he gets hurt. Right.
So he's betting on himself, clearly, but also he's like, anywhere else is better than here.
But the right, well, that's what he's good. They're hoping he thinks. I mean, $16 million, though, right, is what the player option is for next year.
$16.5 million.
So if he stays healthy, he's going to say, hey, pay me $16 million.
Try and trade me then.
You know, right, and try and trade me at that point in time. If I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'd be extending my lease another year. And I don't know if I would be brave enough, let's put it that way, to put myself out on the open market when I've got $16 million.
Probably not going to get that.
Coming back. Now, I would doubt. So we'll see. Apparently he's eaten enough, though. He went all vegan, and they said he was too skinny. Many reasons they gave for not playing Colin Kaepernick.
Number one being, he stinks.
Yes. Well, that and money, I think, ultimately.
It's not the hair. The hair wasn't the number one reason.
I don't think it was the hair. I honestly, I think it's more likely that the whole protest thing is cooled down a little bit now. You know, it still bothers a lot of people. I understand that. But I don't know if that wouldn't have factored in. Although I think, look, Gabbert won the job by most accounts in the preseason. They gave him enough rope to hang himself, and he did hang himself.
Yeah, which he's shown he's able to do.
Exactly.
You know, he was either get hurt or be ineffective, and it was ineffective.
Right, ineffective long enough, and that's what he was. I just hope that Colin Kaepernick realizes Jeremy Curley is capable of catching the football for obvious reasons. Tony caught up with Miles Jack yesterday, again for obvious reasons. Here's a guy that a lot of people are excited about, and it looks like his role will continue to expand, so let's roll it.
Any extra nerves getting ready for that Colts game, knowing it would be your first start?
No, it was more just excitement. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, to start your game in London, to play your first NFL game and not in the USA, I thought it was kind of cool. So I was just anxious to just play. I wasn't nervous at all. I was just excited.
I know Gus said he basically told you just go out there and let it rip.
Yeah. He told me that. He basically was like, just go out there and do what you can do, and you know, you're more than prepared. Just shut your mind off. So that's what I did, and yeah, it turned out good.
Puz, how much does he help you on the field? I know there were some positioning things.
Most definitely. I mean, even with me playing auto, I mean, he's corrected me. I mean, even in the coach game, he corrected me on one play. I went to the wrong side, switched over. He's like, you got to be over here. So I mean, he's the Wikipedia of the defense, man. I mean, he knows where people are supposed to be. So. Very helpful.
Are you comfortable with the auto?
Yeah. I'm comfortable with it. Just learning every day, working with Coach Hazelton, asking Scooter, you know, his issues and what he experienced and everything, and then just trying to form my own kind of, you know, plan to attack. So, yeah, I like it.
How'd you feel like you played against Indianapolis?
You know, I felt like for my first game, I thought I did okay, but I left a lot of things out there that, you know, it comes with time not playing a position. I mean, I'm new to it. I just learned it 4 days ago, and then I go out there and play against the Colts. So that's going to happen. But I'm very excited just to see my improvement from this game to the Bears game.
What do you feel like you needed to work on the most in that time?
Pin in the hip. You know, when the tight end goes down, I have to squeeze down on him and, you know, get rid of space, you know what I mean? Because the whole defense is based on gaps. So if I'm not in my gap, then it's a big run. So I gave up that one to Frank Gore where I didn't pin the hip, and he just ran. I had to go get him. But, yeah, I feel like that was the biggest thing I needed to do.
Do you feel like you're playing fast, Miles?
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing fast. You know, the auto position, it's a lot less thinking, so I can play faster.
I love what you said, what Gus told him. Just turn your mind off. Just go play football now, right? Just trust that you've learned it, and you let your instincts kind of take over. Let's follow up on that with a question for Todd Wash yesterday and was just asked about Miles Jack's performance at the auto spot and what he thought of it.
You know, there were some things that he can get better at. Obviously not playing that position very long. You know, he had a couple busts, but he's definitely got a big upside, as we knew that when we drafted him. And we still got Scooter, and Scooter's battling some injuries and stuff like that. So we feel we got two good players, and, you know, we'll see how this week goes for both of them.
Yeah, we'll see. It certainly seems like Miles Jack is the auto for now, and I think it is interesting to see what they do. Even as far as active, inactive with Dan Scooter going forward, and that may help him make some of the decisions along that defensive line. If they inactivate Dan Scooter, they can keep one more lineman if they want to act.
Yeah, and that would probably be Chris Smith, be a situational pass rusher, or they can make Smith inactive and have Scooter up as just a pass rusher. So I think that's the biggest decision they have.
Todd Wash yesterday also asked about a bunch of the young guys on that defense, the rookies, and just how much they have shown up on tape when he went back and evaluated the first month of the year.
A lot. They obviously are, and along with our free agents and then, the couple of other guys that have been here, 3 years that are playing well too. So, we knew they were good football players, but, give the credit to them as players to put in the work. To study the game in the off season or, in the breaks. And they're playing well. And we're going to continue to push them, and we expect them to continue to play well. And they're accepting the challenge. So it's awesome working with this young group.
There'd be like a 6 or 7 way tie for like most surprising guy on defense right now. Because like I'm impressed by how good Jackson is. I didn't think he'd be this big of an impact player. Sheldon Day is coming along after the first month was his training camp.
Yep.
Ngakoue.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think Dante's made some strides. So, if they could just eliminate the penalties.
Right. And eliminate the blown assignments. Yeah. Like Miles Jack's talking about, you're in the wrong gap. It's a very gap dependent defense. Mm-hmm. Cut down the basically stuff that's within your control, right? I mean, but you look, Ryan and Tony, just at the raw material they have on defense, and it's been the best it's been in a while.
No doubt.
Starting to see it show up on Sunday afternoons. One more here from Todd Wash before we step aside for our next time out. And this was one asked towards the end of his session on does he feel they're as close to completely whole as they've ever been on defense since Todd Wash has been here?
Yeah, and that's obviously a credit to Shad and Dave and getting everybody in, and now the Cove's back and Dante's healthy, and we got our rushers and we got guys that can cover, and linebackers are playing well. But as we all know in the NFL, it goes from week to week. But, I like the guys that we have. As an organization, you can't be any happier with them. You know, the work ethic and that kind of stuff that they put in each week. And, it just gives us a chance. So, I mean, it's a great group to work with.
Like with each week, you're seeing Todd Wash's stamp on this defense in terms of what he's calling. They're not blitzing a lot, but he's sending some guys from different spots. You saw Cyprian blitz. Now Colvin is a good blitzer, so you'll be able to add him in there. But they're producing pressure with a four-man pass rush, which allows them to do so many different things.
Which is what it's been the goal ever since this regime took over. Just haven't had the players to get the job done. And while they're not blitzing a ton, Ryan, talking to players, Tony and I talked about this early in the week. If these defensive players, as you talk to them all the time, they'll tell you they like playing for Wash because they feel it's more aggressive than it's been in the recent past anyway. Yeah. With Bob Babich, just pretty straightforward down the line. We're not going to beat you. We're not going to change it up either. I think Todd Wash is at least willing to put guys in better positions.
Yeah, and they're running a lot more twist up front, and that's how Fowler's gotten free because he's just so fast getting up the middle before the guard center has to react. So you can rush for a lot if you rush it in a different manner. Even with a zone pressure, you've seen Ngakoue drop in the coverage, Cyprian blitzes or Posluszny. So, last year they didn't have good pass rushers and they're predictable. That was a recipe for failure, and it failed.
All right, let's come back. We'll hear a little bit from your quarterback, Blake Bortles, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is basically who needs to step up their game, but we asked it this way. Which Jaguar, one on offense, one on defense, has most disappointed you in their play in the first 4 weeks? In other words, who needs to pick it up, get a little bit of a kick in the rear in terms of their performance, and go and play better football moving forward, most importantly on each side of the ball. So you can weigh in on Twitter on that and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll also check the text line driven by Duval Ford when we come back in a minute. Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
So we do a two-minute walkthrough right before this, and usually it's a walkthrough, so they kind of just let me complete the passes, but every time I throw the ball at him, he's batted it down. So I kind of just throw it the other way now, so I don't have to deal with that.
That's Blake Bortles talking about Jalen Ramsey.
Congratulations.
Yesterday.
He bats passes down during walkthrough. Great. How about getting an interception first?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Here he goes. He's turned on him. He is turned.
That's long ago.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for the Beastie Boys, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
There you go. As long as you're happy with the music selection, everyone's happy. As Mike tweeted on Twitter, you're a funny guy. You're a source of entertainment for all. And it's nice that you're in a good mood because then you really bring it on Thursday mornings. It's a little over the top to be batting down balls in a walkthrough, I think. But
it certainly is.
That's kind of how he is, right? I mean, he's just overly competitive.
What's funny is like it was sort of comical after the Colts game. Like they had the coverage thing where it was a 64-yard touchdown by Hilton. And It was either Gibson or Ramsey, blah, blah, blah. Something happened.
Because Todd Wash said it was on me for not communicating the play call properly, right? Is that a coach covering for somebody who screwed up?
That's what it sounded like. He explained it further to where it was something to do with it was a certain call, but then the Colts came out in a different formation, so it should have been an automatic call then. A change.
An automatic switch, right?
Yeah, so, but either they snapped it quick, and he said he was in the middle of alerting them when the, you know, so it was obviously a miscommunication.
Had you in a defense based on the personnel, but the formation dictated it should have been something else.
Yeah, the cover, like the formation, there. He said they still should have blitzed, but the formation dictated whether it should have been single high or cover two.
Gotcha.
So, but after the game, you're in the locker room, and you see Gus sit next to Ramsey, explain it to him. Then you see Wash over there. We don't want to hurt his feelings. He's very fragile. He's the first round pick.
All right.
There.
Think too much kid gloves is what you're suggesting.
Dude, it happens. You won the game. Suck it up.
All right. There you go. Ryan O'Halloran. Happy, Ryan. Let's get a few in before we get back to Blake Bortles. A few on the text line here. Hey, Ryan.
Oh, jeez.
Text. Hey, Ryan. If Jags lose Sunday, do you think they should tank and Caldwell gets 5 months to pick a new coach and get Jabril, I guess that's Jabril Peppers, in the draft? Ooh, that D would be epic.
Well, that's, no.
Right. They're not going to do that. But
if they, I tell you what, if they do lose this one, our conversation returns right back to where it was after the Ravens.
Right. This game is one that this is not a, hey, maybe we win, maybe we lose. You have to win this football game if you want to end up somewhere around 500, which I think was what most people's minimum was for them this year.
Yeah, and that's what it is right now. The last 12 games, it's a race to get to 8. And if the next four games, particularly the next three, if you get 2 out of 3, then you're 3-4 going to Kansas City. And if you get all three, then that changes everything in terms of your 4-3 going to Kansas City. Tough place to play at the halfway point. So if they win, if we're to believe everything they say about how the arrow is pointing up and this is a different team, prove it by going up there and beat a Chicago team that A, isn't very good, and B, is banged up.
Continuing on here on the text line driven by Duval Ford, do you think the Jags have thought about moving Posluszny to Otto and keep Miles at middle linebacker?
I don't think they're there yet for the reasons we talked about early in the show. Is Posluszny is doing well at that middle linebacker spot, and sometimes I think it's overblown, but they keep saying it's very important for a guy out there to line people up. I mean, this is pro football. You'd say, okay, shouldn't they be able to do that themselves? They find a great worth in a guy who's playing well right now. Miles Jack's time is going to come. Tony, you mentioned that earlier in the show. It's just not right now.
Another one here. What do you think, if any, is the drop-off from Jokel to Amame?
I don't think it's going to be as severe if it was another position. At guard, you can sort of maybe hide him a little bit with Linder. They feel Beecham took a big step forward, and the statistics would prove that against Indianapolis. So it's better to having to replace your left guard at this point than having to scramble for a left tackle.
All right, let's get back into a little bit more with Blake Bortles. You can continue to send your questions and comments on the text line at 641-1010. Blake asked, what did he take away from the time away on the bye?
We got a chance, you know, it kind of came, I think, at a good time after the first four games. And kind of break the season into four quarters and got a chance to kind of reevaluate the first quarter. Obviously not where we wanted to be at the end of it, but got a chance to look at things we did well, things we didn't do well, and things to improve on and where we were going from there. So I thought it was good.
I don't think it came at a good time for them. I don't mind it for me, but that's me. Who cares, yeah, right? I don't have to play on Sunday.
When you're a part of a program that doesn't win a lot of games,
and you win,
you want to play next week.
You would think, and of course we knew, you know, with the London deal, that's the way they're going to do things. But, yeah, I'm with you. Keep the momentum going if there is such a thing in the National Football League.
Blake Bortles also asked yesterday, going back to that Colts game, was it good to see the running game finally get going a little bit before the bye?
Yeah, it was good to see. It was good to see. We kind of went in there with a tighter running plan, and I thought the guys took well to it and executed it well. I thought up front they did an extremely good job, especially having some injuries and some guys go down, kind of mixing some people in there and moving people around. I thought they did a really good job, and then obviously TJ and Chris did a good job in running the ball. So I thought it was cool to see. It was good to get going our running game, and that's something we'll continue to work on and try and find ways to pick up yardage.
Well, right. they tried to do some stretch stuff, which isn't working, but they have to keep the defense a little
honest.
Why
do they keep trying to do that?
I asked Greg Olson that today. He says you still want to be a little bit balanced in that regard. I think the key is with Bortles, he was able to scramble because the Colts were playing so much man coverage, and he just had the middle of the field open. I'd be interested to see what they do with this run game this week. Do they say, hey, between the numbers is what worked? I would spread it out a little bit because they ran it out of three receivers because they had to. They had no tight ends left. They had one tight end. So I think there just appeared to be some room to run instead of doing that smash mouth tight end block, wham block, extra lineman, et cetera.
Blake Bortles also asked yesterday, you know, it was an issue through the first three games, the way he played. He was asked if playing free was an issue for him through those games.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe a little tight, maybe trying to do too much. I think there was a number of things that kind of fueled into that. And I think for us as an offensive unit, I think we play good when we're playing free and having fun. When we get the run game going, we're staying on track. Got to continue to work on eliminating penalties and kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. But I think, you know, against the Colts in London was a good start for sure.
I think it was the opposite with Blake. Instead of trying to do too much, I don't think he was trying to do – he was playing too tight. I must be a robot. I must stay in the pocket. I must not scramble. I must take what's given to me instead of taking shots downfield. I think when he plays freer, he is taking those yards like he did in scrambling, but he's also taking some shots downfield.
Yeah, I guess – I mean, maybe it's semantics. I understand look, I think the turnovers were getting to him. Ultimately, in the first three games.
Which is the tightness.
Right.
He was trying to, you know.
Right, and so you think he was playing, it resulted in him being tight against Indianapolis.
I mean, I think at the Baltimore game especially, he was fighting it. And I think, I remember watching the Colts game, and the first couple of times he scrambled, I was like, okay, is he leaving the pocket too quickly? Is he afraid to make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you started watching it, there wasn't anybody open. So he took the yards that were there. So I think he maybe came out of his shell a little bit.
I would rather him take the yards that are there right now.
Yes.
If you miss a few big plays in the passing game, so be it. Because I think they're not – right now you're not making enough to offset when you're having two or three turnovers in a game.
Yeah, and I think he made very good decisions in that regard. If it was second and 16 or whatever, he wasn't trying to get all of it. He was trying to get part of it back via a scramble. And also first and 10, he had a couple pickups where it changed into a second and three.
As a follow-up to that, Gus Bradley asked, how do you keep Blake Bortles playing like he did against the Colts? Can't do that one? Number seven for Gus? No?
Well, his answer would be it was sort of four non sequiturs.
Yeah.
It's a constant process trying to figure out players' strengths, you know, and what world they live in that they feel free and can, you know, be at their best. And, you know, I think that's constant, never ending with most of our guys, and Blake's included in that. So, you know, to feel with his comfort level where he feels like he's at the best, and that's why it's hard to compare him to anybody. I think you just really look at his strengths, what he does well. That's where the bye week I thought was really good. We had a chance to kind of look at all the plays, the successful plays, what he did well, and, you know, come up with a picture, you know, a more clear picture, I think, with his game.
Out of that, I used the part where it said they have a clearer picture of what he does. I mean, shouldn't they have that by now? I would say yes, but maybe they needed to, you know, regroup a little bit and say, okay, let's put this guy in position to do what he does best instead of maybe trying to force some things and make him do things out of his comfort zone.
All right, we get a look at the fan feedback spotlight on when we come back on the other side on Twitter and on Facebook and on the text line as well. Your submissions for which Jags need to pick up their play the most, or and alternately, who are the most disappointing players, one on offense, one on defense, however you want to look at that. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Fantasy football fans, if you're only playing season-long fantasy football, well, I hope you know by now, you're missing out. You can put your skills to the test this week for a chance to win cash in FanDuel's one-week fantasy football contest. You pick your contest, you pick your team, and hopefully you watch your points pile up and you win. With leagues that start at just $1, there's something for everyone's budget out there, and cash prizes are paid out every single week. I'm still way ahead from my big first week of the season. It's that easy on FanDuel sometimes. You just like the matchup you like. You put those guys in your lineup. As long as you can fit them in under your salary cap, you go to town. You can try FanDuel now if you're playing for the first time and get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest valued at up to $50. To get this deal, go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my promo code Mike. That's FANDUEL.com, promo code Mike at FanDuel.com. And once you're signed up, FanDuel.com/Mike gets you in our listener league to play head-to-head with us. FanDuel.com, void where prohibited.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are heading to Chicago after a bye week. Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles talked about what he took away from the week off.
We got a chance, you know, it kind of came, I think, at a good time after the first four games. And kind of break the season into four quarters and got a chance to kind of reevaluate the first quarter. Obviously not where we wanted to be at the end of it, but got a chance to look at things we did well, things we didn't do well, and things to improve on and where we were going from there. So I thought it was good.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
No, not at all. You know, that's something I continue to work on, or always continue to work on mechanics and try and perfect those and make those better, but nothing in-house that we've worried about.
That was Blake being asked if anybody with the Jaguars has talked to him about his mechanics. No.
Well, I got that question.
Make the throws.
Yeah, I got that question during the week. Did he go to see Tom House for an oil change? And he didn't.
He did not.
Yeah.
No. All right, don't whisper over there. Speak up there.
All right, I got to get closer to the mic.
You do need – you seem like you're plenty close to the
mic.
There
we go.
Pipe up there, pal.
Do your job!
Yes. Let's. Tyler's passed along to me a tweet from Darren Revelle that is Jaguars related.
Okay.
I'm guessing that it's negative.
Well, let me read it to you. You be the judge. He said, finding a power source at games is sometimes challenging. The Jaguars will now sell these disposable phone chargers for $5 at home games. So a phone charger basically in an envelope, that you know, a little foil envelope. You open it up, you can charge your phone for $5. If having your phone charge up is that important to you.
Right, I'm curious to see how fans react to that, because it seems like a pretty good idea from the team perspective.
Right, but
to have that kind of thing for sale.
Is there somewhere I could charge my phone? Sure. In your seat when you buy this $5 disposable charger.
I mean, I'm so disconnected from that.
I don't know. It seems to me, at least I've got one. I can charge my phone in my car, right? Does everyone not have a plug-in for their cigarette lighter, or what used to be a cigarette lighter?
I don't know. I mean, if you're tailgating with someone else, so there's the potential that you're leaving your car if you get there early enough. By the time you got to 3 o'clock, if you're somebody who never puts their phone down, I mean, that could be an issue.
I suppose. I suppose. Look, if you want it, buy it for $5. If you don't buy it. Keep your phone charged some other way. What can I?
Everyone needs to be tweeting videos from the next home game, though, since the team can't. Everyone tweet everything you possibly can.
That's right. That's right. NFL is cracking down on the amount of NFL video that teams can use. Of course, they themselves from the league account will tweet it out because they're in competition, apparently, with their member clubs for Twitter followers.
Right.
I don't know how that works. Today, Tony, speaking of Twitter, let's go ahead and knock out the fan feedback spotlight today. There are a lot of different ways we could have framed this. We could have left Blake Bortles out of the question entirely because you knew you'd get a lot of Blake Bortles. I wanted to frame it really around starters, and I don't look at House as being a starter now, but a lot of people said Devon House is a guy who disappointed them or needed to step up his play. So we didn't put any caveats on it. We did ask you to give us one offensive player and one defensive player who needs to be better going forward. And what did we get?
Here's what we got from DC Kyle, Blake Bortles, and Dante Fowler Jr. From Stoff, Blake Bortles, the lack of the ball velocity has me worried, and Devon House, what's happened to his coverage? From Aussie Jag, defense, Devon House with too many penalties. Offense, Blake Bortles with too many interceptions. From Brian, he chose a coach, but offense was Greg Olson, abysmal play calling. Defense, Devon House, second year in system, no improvement. From Brian Blake, even though he played well against Indy on defense, I think it's House with those penalties. From JP, Ivory and House. From Johnny, Julius Thomas and Cyprian. From Jags Movie Guy, we got which area would Gus fall under? Let's just use him for both. From Chris, offense, Blake, not sure why the change from 15. Defense, Devon House, seems outshined by the new corners. From Ocho Fisho, Gibson and Thomas. From Jarrell, Bortles and Parnell, can't hate on the defense right now, so he just picked two offensive guys. From Irish Jaguar, House and Whispers, Blake. And from Blake. Jason, Blake and Gibson.
Blake.
Yes.
A couple comments on those guys. The thing on Gibson is I thought he would tackle better. The stuff in down the field, I sort of buy what they're saying. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities to make plays on the football. He had the interception against Baltimore. I'm glad somebody mentioned Parnell because my two guys would have been Cannon and Parnell. They're going to have to lean on that right side to run it better, to pass protect better. They started to pick it up against the Colts, but they need to keep playing with more consistency. And as far as Devon House, I would include him in that one because they're going to need him at some point. Even if he doesn't play a lot this week, Amukamara's injury history is well documented. So when House does get back out there and gets a chance, he needs to play better because teams have been picking on him the last 2 weeks.
Here's one that I disagree with. Josh sent this in. He said on the Facebook page, on offense, our running backs have been an absolute disgrace this year.
It's a hard
word. And he put the most blame on T.J. Yeldon because he's taken the majority of the snaps. To me, I think Yeldon has been okay. I don't think there's been much running room. I would equate it to a quarterback. If a quarterback hits his receiver in the hands 10 times in a row and the receiver drops it every time, he's over 10 passing. That doesn't mean he's playing poorly. Mm-hmm. He's doing the most that he can, but he's relying on his teammates to do their job as well. And I think that's been more the issue with the running game to me than Yeldon. And Ivory has not been himself because he hasn't been 100% healthy. Hopefully he will be now going forward. But even from what we've seen from Ivory, it's not like he had a bunch of holes that he just missed or couldn't get to.
And that's the part where like from the outside is it's really, really tough to figure out is they don't spell out to us, well, he picked the wrong hole. Well, it doesn't look like there's any running room, but are they being too aggressive? Should they be more patient, wait for something to develop? Those are impossible to figure out when you're watching the game. So I think TJ's done fine in terms of what he's getting, what's been available.
This one will either make you happy or make you very upset that you have to share the spotlight. Marshall says that Johnny O and Mr. Ryan O have been correct from the beginning. The only thing that matters is and will continue to be Blake Bortles, our quarterback, and his improvement going forward. I think a lot of people feel that way. Not to steal your thunder.
Well, to put Bortles in that category is the easiest answer. But, you know, I thought he took a step forward, got back to what he does well against the Colts. Now, can he continue to stack some games up?
Do you think this team has a chance? We looked at it coming in that we thought they were a lot more talented and they could be whatever they could be in the win-loss department. And then you lose a couple of close games and you lose one in blowout fashion. Everyone is questioning everything. But as we said earlier, Todd Wash says is the best, healthiest, most available talent they've had on defense since he's been here. You could probably say that for the most part on offense now as well, despite Luke Joeckel being out. Do you think there's a chance that all of a sudden we will start to see the team that we expected? And maybe they will if they can go up there and just get past the Chicago game and get a win, and they can maybe get on that roll that we're talking about?
I think so. I mean, I think the offensive line is going to be a concern because of the changing parts, and they have their depth has pretty much been sapped at this point. It's fascinating how the perception going into the season and what turns out to be the reality. I thought the script would be flipped. I thought offensively this team would hit the ground running. I thought defensively it may take a month or so to get all their ducks in a row. It's turned out to be the opposite. The defense has played okay with the exception of one game, and the offense has struggled to get going. Maybe you've seen signs of life from them against the Colts. So it's a matter of the offense and defense lining up, which I think they did for 3.5 quarters in London. Now they have to do it for a second straight game.
How do you think Cyprian has played?
I think he's been okay. I present a caveat of my bar is so low regarding him. He looks like he is more comfortable out there playing his role. He had a tough opener. He's tackled better since then. He has to clean up that penalty. It's a very simple fundamental thing. Got to look back for the ball. They're right. Going to call that 100 times out of 100. Him in coverage is still going to be a dicey proposition. It's what, if I'm opponents, I try to get him into.
Is this a team that's going to be able to clean up their penalties?
They've shown no ability to do it. You know, I guess it'd be a bigger problem if they're getting more late hits, more personal fouls, et cetera. But the pre-snap stuff, I think they'll tighten that up because it's been emphasized. But maybe with House not playing as much, maybe with Cyprian not being in coverage much, the big penalties will disappear. But this is a problem that started in the preseason, and they poo-pooed it. They said, it's no big deal. It'll get cleaned up for the regular season. It hasn't so far.
If the Jags are to win on Sunday, what's the most likely game script that plays out?
They play turnover-free, and they are able to combine a improved running game with more explosive plays down the field. I was surprised to see the stat. I looked up there, 5-0 under Gus when they have no turnovers plus over 100 yards rushing. That's the recipe. I think it's crucial in any game, but especially this one for the Jags. Can they come out? Can they be the ones that dictate it? I'm not talking about taking the ball first because he's never going to do that. But when you get it first, can you get a lead? If you get a lead, you can start running it, and that means you can have your defense play from an advantage position of rushing the passer, forcing Hoyer into some mistakes.
And that is where I think the biggest key is for this team going into it. If they can, like you said, you can't have Blake giving it to the other team, but you want to create a situation where Hoyer is giving you some opportunities mm-hmm. to give it to the other team. Because right now, he's not getting pressured or hasn't much in the last couple of weeks, over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns each week. So, as Todd Wash said, there are a lot of guys in the league, I think, that fit this so much better when he has time to sit there and survey the field. The guy can throw the football. Mm-hmm. He also is very capable of not handling pressure to an extreme degree, as we saw in the playoffs last year against Kansas City, and becoming a Ryan Fitzpatrick-esque turnover machine.
Sure. And so far, as much as the Bears would disagree with this, is they're not going downfield to Jeffrey because Hoyer isn't the guy who's going to throw in the coverage like Cutler. Keep it that way if you're the Jags. Make him throw everything underneath and tackle the catch.
Right. All right. What do you have coming up in the next few days in the TU?
We got a couple things. We have the left guard. We can continue to gain clarity on that. We'll have a story on Omame tomorrow. One of the most valuable players on the team has been Brad Nortman. So we visit with him for Saturday. And then my Sunday story is going to be on Ngakoue, sort of the road he took here and some of the things the Jaguars saw in him at Maryland.
All right, there he is, Ryan O'Halloran. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, thank you.
All right, there he goes. Check him out on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran, and, of course, in the digital pages or the printed pages of the Florida Times-Union Sports section. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, getting ready to wrap things up. Thanks to Adam Hogue from WGN Radio in Chicago, joining us to preview the Chicago Bears this week. I'm glad we could bring you some thoughts from Gus Bradley, Todd Wash, and Blake Bortles. More from Greg Olson, I'm sure, throughout the course of the afternoon today. Coming up, thanks to Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt. Again, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off for Jaguars Today. Midday Chalk coming up in just a few minutes. So stick around on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.